We are so thankful this morning to recognize God continues to be our source of hope. And we see that lived out in the lives of our children, of our youth. And that even this morning, as we look at this passage out of Romans, it leads us through a process that I think we've all experienced, and certainly we're going to be talking about an example out of the Bible where he, in fact, experienced it, and it allowed to transform his life as well. If you have your Bibles and want to turn with me this morning, we're going to be looking over in 2 Kings chapter 5. Great opportunity to hear yet again about one of those commander-in-chiefs. It's not of the Israel army. It doesn't have a direct connection to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, other than he had some working for him that knew the one true God and spoke into his life in a very real way, even as he commanded great vasts of people at one time. There still were issues in his own life that he could not get a hold of, or he could not fix, or he could not treat. And so we'll be looking at his story today. I want us to understand, even as we heard out of Romans chapter 5, that suffering produces endurance. I would much rather just skip all the way to hope and not have to walk through even what we are seeing Naaman having to walk through this morning. But there is something about this journey of life that we're on where it becomes a process. And this process is very much a part of what we hear out of 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman, a commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. So we find an individual who, facing great obstacles, was able to still function very highly in his society, had a work ethic that proved to be one that was victorious in many arenas, but at the same time, his life was literally filled with suffering. As some of you probably know, most of you, about leprosy, it does in fact attack the nerve system of our body. And so it gets to the point where you can't feel if you get a cut, or you'll bump your leg and you get a bruise or an abrasion, and then there's no way really to know that it even happened, because pain is in our body for a reason. It's there to tell us, wait a minute, something's going on, you got to check and see what it's about. Leprosy shuts that part down, and so then infections set in. And in fact, loss of limbs and a debilitating disease if not treated. And we find this individual suffering through physical problems that he had no control over. And I often wonder how often we also suffer through, maybe it's physical issues, but emotional issues, are just plain old sin that's a part of our life from time to time, and we just can't quite figure out how to shake it. Or what do we do? Why am I having to walk through this particular time? And if we use the passage of Romans as our guide map, it's that suffering then, in fact, leads to and produces endurance. Out of Luke chapter 11, right after the Lord's Prayer, which I am so thankful that Dorian was able to share with us so eloquently this morning. Right after Jesus gives them the Lord's Prayer, he then follows it up with this story. Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to eat before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me, the door has already been locked, my children are with me in bed, I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, He will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I'm not sure if you've been there with your pet or not, but every once in a while, Socks will persistently tell us at 3 a.m. in the morning that it's time for him to go out, whether I want him to go out or not. I don't know if you've ever been there. You're sleeping soundly, but the dog just doesn't cooperate. And so persistence seems to win the day. And there's that idea that even as we walk through whatever it is that we're walking through, endurance is something that is built up over time. That it occurs not just immediately, but that it is in fact a process that we walk through. So after he tells that story, this is in Luke chapter 11. He says the Lord's Prayer to start with. He tells that story. And then this is the response from Jesus. He says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For anyone who asks receives. Anyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there any among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" It's a great reminder out of Luke's gospel on what this looks like to lead from suffering to endurance. And then ultimately, Romans goes on and says, from endurance we get character. Our endurance produces character. And that's what we see in Naaman's life. Naaman certainly suffered with his issue of leprosy. And it's how we see him enduring through that suffering and then also dealing with those that are under him, that I truly believe we see his character come out. There in verse number 2 of 2 Kings chapter 5, we pick up Naaman's story. Now the Arameans on one of their raids had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Now, Naaman could have done a lot with the information that was given to him by his wife's servant. He could have summarily dismissed the whole thing right away, and we would never have had any more account in what happened. But I am so glad to see the character of Naaman coming through. It says, "So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, 'Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel.'" So there's a couple things about Naaman's character that I think comes through very clearly. He certainly took time to listen to those that were under his charge. He didn't think it was beneath him to listen to a voice that was also concerned about him. It speaks volumes about our character when we actually sit and we listen to those that speak into our lives. But the other part about Naaman's character I see here is that he had an audience with his king in such a way that once he told his story, the king took it as fact. There was no debate, but because Naaman thought the testimony was true of the servant girl, the king immediately thought the same thing. I think it speaks volumes about Naaman's character, about the reputation that he had, not only with those underneath him, but even with those that he served. So that immediately the king did exactly what Naaman asked for. He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I a god to give life or death that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." I also think it speaks volumes about the character of the king of Israel at this time, in that he didn't even realize there was a prophet among him who had the voice and the ear of God. It was in this setting that we see Naaman's character being developed, that it was through this place of suffering that he had to endure for we don't know how many years, and that we still see his character rising to the top and speaking into not only his life, but those that were around him. Now, Elisha gets word somehow of the encounter that's going on. Elisha actually steps in and bails out his own king. So in verse 8, he says, "But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, 'Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean.'" Now, I appreciate that we see all of what there is in Naaman's story. The other part about character is that character is not something that you say, "Well, one day I have reached a place of right character." Even as Naaman passed several tests leading up to this point, there is always a chance in which we can be less than what we need to be. Naaman shows his humanity in the next few verses. Naaman became angry and went away. So here I'm talking about a man of character, one who trusts and listens to those under him, that has value to those over him. But at the same time, when things don't quite even up in their lives, we still can have issues. We still feel, "Wait a minute, I've come all this way, and I'm offering an incredible reward." And so he just about throws his hands up and says, "It's all off. I can't imagine why this gentleman would have me do such a horrible thing and not really address my needs." But I think this is all about the ability, through enduring everything that we walk through, our character is not only tested, but our character is shaped and molded. And that we learn. We learn through difficult times. We learn through times when we are less than what we should be. And so this is Naaman's response. "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Parphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" And he turned away and went away in rage. He was indignant. It was almost like his character was being tested. Or, his reputation. What's this guy trying to do to me? Doesn't he know everything I've done so far and how I've tried to do the right thing in all the different arenas of life that I've been placed in? And he's just downright ticked off. But even in the midst of that, he still is able to hear the voice of those that care for him. Even in the midst when we think we're ready to walk away, it's then when our character can rise to another level. Because in verse 13, "But his servants approached and said to him, 'Father, If the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much when all he said to you was, wash and be clean? So again, Naaman's character is being tested and shaped and molded, and he hears this voice of his servant. We're not sure if it's the same servant girl or not. You know, it doesn't really specify. But at least it's another individual that cares very much for Naaman and wants to see only the very best for him in his life. And I'm thinking when we walk through some of our times, we really don't want to hear advice from anybody else. Sometimes we think we've got it all figured out, or we just want to go and wallow in our misery by ourselves because it just doesn't seem there's any way for it to get better. But it's in those situations when our character can, in fact, move to a different level. Because in verse 14, this is the response. So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. It's when character then produces hope that then moves us into a place where we can really see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's allowing our character, you know, we could have done the whole message this morning on Job just as easily. And you see the same process. Abraham had to walk through some trials along the way, leaving everything he had. And not until later on down the road did they receive this hope and an understanding. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And out of Romans chapter 5, verse 5, is a beautiful summary of this process. Hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who He has given to us. He goes on in verse 8 and it says, God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's that beautiful reminder. And in fact, that's how Naaman's story comes to a close in this particular part. He says, then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. It was a great declaration. It was an outpouring of this hope that he lived in. The hope that did not disappoint. The hope that comes in recognizing God's love is being poured into our lives through the Holy Spirit who He's given to us. Hebrews chapter 10, 23 puts it this way. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. Romans 10, 23. It's a declaration of the hope that we can have. And then Revelation 21 probably gives us this incredible, most incredible picture of what hope really looks like. It's what we're eventually going to be able to see and experience. John got to see it first, and he relayed the message to the 7 churches in Asia Minor and still relays the message to us today. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. The sea was no more, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be His peoples. And God Himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. We'll leave you with a final thought from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And it just gives us that picture of what hope looks like and how it continues not to disappoint. We have this hope, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters the inner shrine behind the curtain where Jesus, a forerunner on our behalf, has entered, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus has already gone the way before us. He lives in the present tense in this place of hope. That suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us as God's love is being poured into our hearts. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Author of salvation, You craft a new story out of the ashes of the old. Where there is an ending, You turn the page and begin again. In places of injustice, write the story of restoration. In places of hate, write the story of love. In places of death, write the story of life and hope. Grant us the ability to be partners with You, writing a new chapter in our own history, a story that embraces the fullness of Your love and life. In the name of Christ, who writes us into the book of life, we pray. Amen.